Shachaim, Shagimel, chapter 8. We spoke in the last class. We said quite an amazing idea. There's a Mishnah in Chagiga which says that a person is forbidden to ask what was before and what was after. What is before? As i.e., what's before creation? What's after creation? After the whole of creation's over, what's going to be after? What's before creation? What's after? What's above the creation and what's below the creation? So the Mishnah uses a strong language. It would be better for him if he wasn't born, if he's going to ask questions like that. That's what the Mishnah says. Now the source of that teaching, that you shouldn't ask for what was before creation, what was after creation, what happened before. You know, like some people say, who created Hashem? So that's not a question we can ask. That's not a question we can ask. So the source for this is a verse that it says in the Torah that when you will ask of days of old, so that is appropriate. It is appropriate to look into the history of the world and to understand how Hashem set up the world. That is appropriate. We should look into the history. We should look into the history of our people. If we look into the history of our people, many things we can understand. We understand how Hashem works with us. So that's valuable. It's valuable to look into our roots. So when the verse says, and we will ask of days of old, from the day from when Hashem created Adam. So the verse seems to indicate we're allowed to go back into the past up to the creation of Adam. But that's the starting point. We can't go earlier than that. But the Arizal explains, you can go back to the creation of Adam, does not mean the creation of Adam Arishon himself. It's referring to a world that's called Adam Kadmon. There's a world that preceded all the other worlds, which is called Adam Kadmon, which is the first of worlds. And that world we can't explore. We can go up to that world, and we can't enter that world. That's a very, very lofty world. And that world we can't explore at all. We can go up to that world. That's what he says. You can go back up to Adam, referring to the world of Adam Kadmon. And you can see the light that's radiating from that world. The light that radiates from that world is what created all the four worlds. Because we know that there are four worlds, four spiritual worlds. Right? That's Tzilus, Bria, Yetziah, Asiyah. That's what everyone knows. So those four worlds come from the world of Adam Kadmon, and they come from the radiations from that world. Now we can't know Adam Kadmon, we can know the radiations that come from there. From Adam Kadmon we can know. So that's how the Rizal explains. So you are allowed to explore spiritual realms, but only up to the world of Adam Kadmon. Before the world of Adam Kadmon, that you can't explore at all. And then he says, and what's the purpose of studying the studies? Because it helps a person to connect with Hashem, right? We have a mitzvah to daven to Hashem. A person should connect with Hashem. His thought should be towards Hashem. When you daven, you stand in front of Hashem in davening. So that's what we quoted. He said that when a person davens, he has to direct his heart to the place. The place means Hashem, who is the place of the world, the one who created everything. Hashem, who is everything. One should direct his heart to Hashem. And also we brought other teachings. You should know before whom you stand. So therefore that's very important. That's why it is appropriate to learn these studies, to learn the Kabbalistic studies, because it helps us to appreciate who Hashem is, who are we talking to. But where's it all coming from? Where's our world? Where's our reality coming from? Where do we come from? So we come from upper worlds, heavenly worlds, spiritual worlds. So therefore that is appropriate to know those things, so we know who we're standing before when we stand before Hashem. And he goes on as follows. He says that this, the next paragraph, V'chein v'yichud ha-posuk rishon de-krishma. And similarly, when it comes to saying the first posuk of Krishma, which we're obligated to say twice a day, twice every single day of our life, from our bar mitzvah till our last day in the world, and when a person dies also he should be saying it, is the first posuk of Shema. And that's there you have the mitzvah of yichud, of declaring that Hashem is one, to sort of try and connect with the concept that Hashem is all one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, Hashem is one. So that's the mitzvah there. So when we're fulfilling that mitzvah of the oneness of Hashem, of declaring the oneness of Hashem, when we say the word Echod, Hashem is one, V'chein v'yichud posuk rishon de-krishma v'teves echad. When you say that name, that word, Echod, one, ra'ila u'ived amiti, it's fitting for someone who's a truth, truly serves Hashem, someone who serves Hashem in truth, it's fitting, l'chaven gedusha machshavto, that he should have a kavon, he should have intention with the purity of his thoughts. That when he thinks in terms of Hashem, and when you're thinking of Hashem, you're declaring that Hashem is one, that you should be thinking at that time that Hashem, in terms of himself, who echad kamashmo, he is simply one. He is just one and nothing more than one. He's an indivisible one. Hashem is an indivisible one. In other words, A person, you say a person is one, but it's not true. You could cut a person in half. You can dissect a person and pull out all sorts of different organs. Like there's a heart there, there's a stomach there, there's a liver there, the kidneys there. That's all part of a person. A person is not an indivisible one. Hashem is an indivisible one. He's a one of all ones. He's a one that can't be divided. You can't have half of Hashem. There's no half. Hashem cannot be cut in half. Hashem is a single concept that's a one of all oneness. That's what we have to know. It all comes from a certain one. And that's what we're striving towards. We're striving towards in our life to get closer to that oneness. That Hashem, it's all Hashem. It's only Hashem. It's all Hashem. Hashem is only one. And we want to get closer to that one. So we're moving away from a world of diversity. This world is a world of details. Very, very, very diverse world. Right? There's thousands of details. If you look under a microscope at anything, you see like there's hundreds of different parts, thousands of parts, even in small microbes and things like that. There are all sorts of different elements, all sorts of different parts. You think of a motor car. How many parts would it take to assemble a motor car? How many screws and nuts and bolts, which are all different, that are needed for assembling a motor car? You're talking about thousands of parts. Thousands of parts. Thousands and thousands of parts. So that's the world of detail. We have to take the world of detail and find the source. We have to connect with the source. The source is the concept of Hashem, who is one. It's all from that oneness. All that, it's oneness, it's a goodness, it's a light. Hashem's desire to do good has brought about this whole world. But it's a diverse world because it's far from Hashem. And we have to somehow try to bring it back, try to bring ourselves back, reconnect to the One. That's part of the idea of the One. So therefore, if that's our mitzvah, that when we declare One, that we should be focused a little bit on this idea that Hashem is literally One. He's One and only One. Hu echod k'mashmo. There's the root. The root of it all, it all starts with One. It all starts with one concept, one idea. What about the Krishma Lamita? The Krishma we say on the bed is just for protection. We say that for protection.
That's part of it.
It's a type of protection that we call on ourselves when we go to sleep. When a person sleeps, so the soul leaves the body, so the body is vulnerable. And there's certain harmful forces, negative spiritual forces that can harm him. So the saying the Shema is a protection. And that's because again you're connecting with the source of Hashem. The source is the source of life. So therefore that is what is healthy for us. To connect with Hashem is what's powerful and healthy. We gan b'chol ha'bruim kulam, also throughout all of the creatures, all creations, all creatures in this world, aktus poshut levad. He fills the whole of existence. He is this oneness. And he fills the whole of creation with his oneness. Everything is permeated with his oneness. Everything in the world is permeated with Hashem. Because Hashem is the life force. He's the one who gives life to all. So it's all permeated with the oneness of Hashem, a simple oneness. Kekoyde Mabriya, where before creation is always the same as after creation. Hashem is the same one before he created the world as he was after he created the world. Hashem doesn't change at all. I'd like we're still going to speak about it a bit more. So that's another reason for understanding this concept of the oneness of Hashem, which was, as we said before, that it's from Hashem's point of view, there's nothing besides him. There's nothing besides him because he powers all, he fills all. There, nothing actually exists besides Hashem. From our point of view, we see a diverse world. We see many, many different things. But underneath it all, we have to realize that it's all really Hashem. So that's why this idea is important to us. Another reason why we have to realize the oneness of Hashem, to understand it's all Hashem, is to prevent us, that we should fear, we should be very, very careful from sinning, chas v'sholem, one of the sins of the one, transgressing one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's another reason we have to understand the oneness of Hashem, so that we don't sin, we don't transgress the Torah. For Hashem's presence fills the world. You know, we are in the presence of Hashem at all moments. Even if we're sinning with Hashem. We're sinning with the strength Hashem gives us. Imagine if you sin, then you're going, so to speak, you're going against Hashem. You're going against His will. And you're using the power that He gives you. He's giving you life. You're using the life that He gives you to sin against Him. Right? Like if a father gives his son pocket money, so the son uses the pocket money to buy a slingshot to throw stones at his father. So that would be, you know, the height of chutzpah, the height of stupidity. But so to speak, we should have an awareness of that if it's all Hashem fills the world, how can we possibly sin against Him? How can we possibly transgress any of His commands? For the whole of the world is full with his glory. Like the verse tells us, if a person hides away in a hidden place, if you find a hiding place, a person, let's say, wants to do something forbidden. So he goes, he finds a hiding place, he finds a dark room, and it's got no windows, and the door's locked, and it's totally dark. He's totally in the dark. If you hide yourself in the darkest of places, you can't be by yourself. Can I not see him? Person hides himself. He says, I'll go under the blankets, and I'll do an affair under the blankets. But Hashem can't see under the blankets. Hashem fills all of reality. So therefore, this idea helps us to not sin. Because Hashem fills everything. Don't I fill the heaven and earth? So therefore, what do you think? If you think under the blankets, I won't see you. I can't see you. I can see you directly. It's like you're right in front of me. Because you can't escape me. Because I fill it all. Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Shavisa Hashem l'nigdi somyo, I place Hashem before me at all times. Now that pasuk is brought right at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. It's a critical part of keeping halacha, is that we place Hashem before us. Therefore, how can we sin? Shulchan Aruch is all about keeping all the mitzvahs of the Torah, keeping all the laws, all the halachas. So it starts with Hashem is right in front of me. Hashem is right in front of me. If I do anything wrong, I'm doing it in His presence. I'm doing it in His face. I'm doing it in His face. And that's the idea of Chilul Hashem. You know, the concept of Chilul Hashem, which is mentioned. We normally mention that when a person sins, we call that Chilul Hashem. Right? A profaning of Hashem's name. But it's interesting, the word Chilul is linked to the Hebrew word Chalal. Chalal means an empty space. An empty space. So we know there's no such thing as an empty space. So what does Chilul Hashem mean? It's like you're removing Hashem from the world. Let's see what he says here. Kein shepirish b'zoya, like the Zoya explained in the pasuk mechaleha mois yumas. It says there's a pasuk in the Torah that says those who profane mechaleha, those who profane Hashem will surely die. But the word mechaleha, to profane, the word halal, which means to profane, also means hollow, emptiness, a hollow space, an empty space. Shehu loshen halal upnias mokum. Right, when the place is cleared of all substance, all content, that's called halal. That's the Hebrew word halal. So using the same word chilul and halal is the same word. Right, kena inyan kan. So is the idea here also when a person sins. Shemari chas v'sholem kiilu hamokum shoyimed boi chalul. Because when a person sins, it's like he's saying the place where I am, it's halal. Hashem is not here. So when a person sins, it's like he's saying Hashem is not here. That's what he's doing by sinning, because it doesn't matter if I sin, because Hashem's not here. Hashem can't see me, and it doesn't bother him, and he's not here. So therefore, you're making the world hollow of Hashem, when our absolute belief is that the world is full of Hashem. That's critical to our whole Yiddishkeit, that the world is full of Hashem. But by sinning, it's as if we're saying Hashem is not here. That's chilul, is hollow, is hollowness. So therefore, that's why a person can sin. He sins because he says, Hashem is not here. Hashem doesn't see me. Hashem doesn't care. Okay. Similar, the sages teach. There's a teaching as follows in the Gemara Kedushin. Anyone who sins in secret, someone who sins in secret, right? He draws the blinds and he's in his hidden room and he does an aveira, no one can see him. So it says, anyone who sins in secret, as if he's pushing away the feet of the divine presence. He's pushing Hashem out of the world. It's like he's pushing Hashem out of the world. Imagine you take a broom, and you try and sweep a person out of the house. So it's very insulting. And you've got a guest in your house, you want to get rid of him, you take a broom, you start sweeping against his shoes, against his feet. Right? So he says, well, what are you doing? He says, no, I want you to get out of my house. That's what you're doing. You're pushing him out with your broom. You're pushing him out. You push out his feet with your broom. So therefore, that's someone who sins in secret. It's like he's saying Hashem is not here. It's pushing Hashem out of the world, denying Hashem's presence, which is like denying Hashem. It's like Hashem is not here. It's like you entering the world of Hashem. And with this, we can answer one what was difficult to many sages. Right, a wondrous question. Where did Arizal get it from that he's permitted to go and reveal these secrets? Many sages were asked the question, how did the Arizal permit him? Arizal was a huge, huge giant, a great, great man. And he told us the secrets of the Torah. But what was the basis that he decided that he's going to tell us these secrets? What gave him permission to tell us these secrets of the creation? The Dabet Lahaskil Klal Inyan Atzimtut, to teach us this whole idea of that Hashem hides himself, which is this concept, that Hashem hides himself completely. But this is the answer. Came Shehizboinu Nusboi Asura, since Since the actual contemplation that there is nothing besides Hashem, there isn't a forbidden area over there that we can't go into, like we mentioned before, to spend too much time on that concept that there's nothing besides Hashem is forbidden. There's an area that we're not allowed to cross over. But he answers like this: Lefi Masha Kasavnu Inyan Hatzun Tzumtzum. According to what we've been saying, the idea that Hashem is hidden, Be'emes Ha'inyan Noheg B'chol Mokum Rizman. It's really something that's applicable in all situations, all times, and all situations. This is a useful idea for us in all situations. Always useful for us to know that Hashem fills reality. In terms of the simple idea, the simpler application, that Hashem literally fills the whole of reality, that's useful for us. That's why he could tell us this idea, because it's an idea we need. We need for our everyday living. We need to feel that Hashem fills the world. We need to feel when you stand up and down that you're talking to Hashem. Hashem is right here. You're talking to him directly. You stand in davening to Hashem. He hears your thought. Your thoughts he's hearing. He's picking up not only your words, your thoughts also. He's hearing everything. You talk to Hashem. You're mamish in front of Hashem. So this is an idea we need for our practical everyday living. Right? Even when we're in this world, even in this world, we have to have a sense that Hashem fills all of reality. To the remnants that Hashem calls them, the special individuals who are called by Hashem to connect with Hashem. So it's for them, it's important to know that Hashem is everywhere, absolutely everywhere. That's how he could even speak about this, because it's useful for us. That we should know the truth of this idea, this awesome idea, for the reasons we've given before, that it's useful to us to know this idea that Hashem fills the world. Right, Kain Berei Mehemna, and also it's brought in the Zohar, Tikunim, Ukdoish Hashem Rabbeinu Shmuel, Baal Shir HaYichud, right? There's a song, a very holy song called Shir HaYichud, the song of his oneness. It was written by a big tzaddik called Rabbeinu Shmuel. He also hints to this idea. He doesn't speak about it openly, but he came before the Arizal. He also wrote out this idea. He also spoke out this idea. So it wasn't something that was totally hidden from us, and that's why Arizal felt he needed to teach this to the world, and he did teach it to the world. Right? I call me Elu Atami. So therefore, that song Shira Yichud, and also the Rokeach, also hinted to this matter in his writings. He also hints to this matter in his writings. Therefore, this is because it is essential. There is an element that's essential. It is essential for us to know this idea of the oneness of Hashem, and that Hashem fills all reality. I call me Elu Atami, my Nizkarim, all for the reasons we mentioned before. As is clear to anyone who thinks about it and he looks in the words of the Rokeach. Omnam, however, here there's just a warning before we go on. Just a warning. In other words, he's saying that it is valid for us to think about this idea of the oneness of Hashem. However, we have to be careful. There's a certain boundary we have to be careful not to cross. Amram Hizayim Oid Benavshecha. You have to guard yourself. Zachoy, remember, Al Tishkach, remember and don't forget, Hashem Yizboi Elamar, what we explained before, She'ein Adava Omu Ele Ledaiten Ha'inyan Yediyas Alev Derech Klal. It's only about knowing this idea, this concept of Hashem filling the world in a general way. We're only allowed to know it in a general way. We can't meditate on it too much. We can't try to go too deep into it. We can't try and analyze it too much. That's dangerous. We should just know this in a general way, that Hashem fills all. The shiur de libe levad, sort of the estimation of the heart. That the heart has a sort of feel of it. You know, like your heart has your, you know, you sort of feel it's right. You sort of get a sense of it. Sometimes someone speaks to you about something that's very deep, and you get a sense of what he's talking about. You sort of understand it in a general sense. You got to get the flavor of it. You somehow pick up what he's talking about in a general sense, without going to specifics. So we have to be careful to remain in that realm of the general sense. That this has only been told. This has been told us that we should just know it in a general sense. But not to go and investigate, not to go and diagnose the essence of this idea. The essence of this idea that there's only Hashem. That we shouldn't go too deeply into. That's dangerous. Also to be careful. We have to also be very careful that shouldn't affect, this concept shouldn't affect our daily actions. And we have to know, for instance, we mentioned this before, like a person can't speak words of Torah in a filthy place, in a bathroom. You can't say words of Torah in a bathroom where there's a toilet, where there's dirt. So therefore, all those halachas apply. And you can't say, no, the whole world is full of Hashem, therefore it doesn't really matter if I'm in a place where it's filthy and where it's smelly. It doesn't matter because it's all Hashem. So you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to apply it. You can't go and translate the halacha based on this concept that it's all Hashem. We said another application would be if business is all Hashem, so then anything that's treif is also from Hashem. Treif food is also from Hashem. So that would be a wrong application. We can't do that. We have to be careful when we draw this idea. We shouldn't draw it down into everyday living. Right? In a number of different areas where a person can make a mistake. Because then a person could come to act in a way that's against the Torah. We can't go against the Torah in any way. We have to be keeping to the Torah, even though this concept, so to speak, seems to override the Torah. We can't say that. We don't have permission to say that Hashem fools the world and therefore I don't have to keep these halachas. We can never say such a thing. We have to be very, very careful never to let it cross into our keeping of the Torah. We have to keep all of the mitzvahs according to the Shulchan Aruch exactly. Moshe Omar, Kosev, like the Pasuk says, V'yadata yom yishevoyse levech k'ashem hu alukim b'shemayim ma'av ha'aretz mitachas ein oid. Like the verse says, right? We say in the Salein Shabbat, we say, you should know this day, put it in your heart that Hashem is the God of the heavens above and the earth below, and there is nothing else besides Him. So in that, when we say that verse, that there's nothing besides Him, where do we say it? We say we should say it in your heart. Yadata yom yishevoyse levecha. Know today and put it in your heart. You know, this is an idea to put for our hearts. It's not an idea for our practical daily living. It's something that's just in your heart. You have something you have to remember in your heart, but not to translate it into practical life, not to go and examine it too much. Right? Ein oid el levavcha dafka. You should say to your heart. This is an idea that should be in your heart. Hainu rak ba'uvanta deliba. Just in the understanding of the heart, v'shiura deliba, in the estimation of the heart. That's where this idea can reside. Also like we say about davening, it says yichaven liboy lamochum. You should direct your heart to Hashem. You should direct your heart when you stand and daven to Hashem. You should direct your heart to this concept of there's no one besides Him. But you're still going to do all the halacha properly. You're still going to go through the davening like, right? You can't say, you know, Hashem, you know everything's in the siddur, so you know I'll just give you my siddur. You know? I'm not going to daven these words because, like, you know what's written in it. You wrote it. So I don't have to daven. You know? It's only in terms of our heart that we think of this concept. It's all Hashem. But otherwise, we do everything in a regular way. So therefore, that's something we have to be careful of. Chapter 9, Perek Tes. Okay, new point here. Masha Katuv, right, that verse that we quoted before, V'yadata Yom, you should note this day, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, that Hashem is God. Now, Hevdo Shebein Elu Shtei Hashem was who? The difference between these two names, that Hashem is Elokim. Right, got the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, that's the name of Hashem Himself. And, right, you should know this day, in that verse it says, you should know this day that Hashem, He is Elokim. Hashem is Elokim. Now what's the name Hashem and what's Elohim? What's the difference between the two? What's the difference between these two names? So he says like this, Hevel Shebein Eilu Shnei Hashem Moishu. The difference between these two names is Sheshem Elohim Ne'emar Gam Al Eizeh Koach Prati. The name Elohim also applies to a specific force. Sometimes a specific force, we'll call that Elohim. Elohim is a force, right? So there are many, many forces in the world. So we call each individual force, we call that Elohim also. There's like a guiding force. An individual force, the name Elohim can apply to an individual force. Some individual force that comes from Hashem, we attach to that name Elohim. Hashem Havaya, with the other name, Hashem Havaya, Yudke Vovke, that name, Ne'emal Mekoach Koichos. So that name Hashem is on the source of all forces. So all the individual forces are called Elohim. But the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the source of all forces. Where do all forces come from? Where does the wind come from? Where does the sunshine come from? Where all the different forces that run this world, the force of gravity, whatever, electricity, whatever it is, all the different forces, all the different energies, right? Fear is a force, or joy can be a force. All these different forces all come from one source, and that source is called Hashem. So that's the name Hashem. So we've got two names. Hashem is the general name where all forces come from, and then the individual forces could be called Hashem Elohim. The name Elohim can apply to a specific force. Shenim Shechim Imen Yisrael. Ukamosh She'amu Chazal B'Bereish Yisrael, like the rabbis told us in the Midrash. She'iz Ke'ach Ha'gma Kol Ma'is B'Bereish Shem Mole. In other words, right through the act of creation, when we read the beginning of the Chumash, we read about the act of creation, during the whole act of creation, it keeps using the name Elohim. Right? B'Bereish Yisrael Elohim is the Shemayim V'Zoritz. Right? It says Elohim, 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 all the time Elohim, because these were different forces that created. And then when the entire creation is finished, So that's what the Midrash says. Only after the whole creation is described, when the whole thing has been described, how it was all created, so then you've got the name Hashem Elohim together. The name Hashem only comes at the completion of the whole thing, because then we can, once we've got the whole, once we've got the totality, then we can put the name Hashem in. Because Hashem goes on the totality. He's the source of all the forces. So that's where the name Hashem suddenly fits in. Hashem Havaya Bochu Hu Mekoyed Dekula Bo. Right? He's the source that all is in, the Chula Bo, it's all from Him, it's all within Him. The whole creation is from Him. It's only when we see the entire creation that we can bring in this name that is. This name which represents everything. That's the name of the source of it all. That's Hashem Havaya. Whereas at the time of the actual creation, so for each saying that Hashem said, we know that Hashem created the world with 10 sayings, the 10 things He said. Each saying was another aspect of creation. So with each saying it says, Lezoyis Lunis Ka B'chol Ma'is Abreish Rak Shem Elohim. So with each saying we've got the name Elohim. Elohim is going on each individual, each one of the 10 sayings has got the name Elohim, because that applies to the specific aspect that was created with each one of the sayings. Achash Nigma Hamshochas Kol HaKoichas, and once all the forces have been drawn down and everything has been put in place, that's when you get the name Havaya. Kefisha Goza Ratzonis Brosh Tzoyich HaOlam. Once everything's in place, once whatever He wants in the world is in the world, everything that He wants the world to contain is in the world already, once everything was ready, everything was set up the way Hashem wanted it, so then the totality of Hashem can be connected with the world. Az ne'ema b'yoyim asus Hashem Elohim. Then we got the name Hashem Elohim together, those two names, Hashem who is the force, God of all forces, the source of all forces. Then we got that name Hashem, once it's all finished in its totality. V'zeh, this is what the verse means when it says, v'yadat ha'yoyim, you should know this day, and you should put it on your heart. Ki Hashem, who I look Him. You should know in this heart. Put it in your. You should know this day, and you should put it in your heart that Hashem, who is the source of all forces, He is all the forces. You should know that Hashem, the source of all forces, is all of the forces. All the forces really all come from Hashem. That's what we're saying in that verse. You should know that Hashem, He is Elohim. He is the one who fixes this and fixes that and judges this and punishes here and gives this and gives that. So He is the source of all the forces, all the different forces which put our world together, which compose our world. Now, the message in that pasuk is, the practical message is that we should not attach ourselves or bind ourselves to any specific force. Right? We should never try to serve any specific force. But like that's already in the realm of Avodah Zarah. That's idolatry. A person serves a certain force. He wants to serve the sun. He wants to bow down to the sun, which different forces of the world. We should not write that. That's Hashem is the source of all the forces. So therefore, all the forces are Hashem. They're all from Hashem. Therefore, you can never serve one of the forces. But that's all that is forbidden, because it's all really Hashem. It's all to serve one of those forces is to pervert the whole thing, to pervert the whole truth. But our intention has to be to the source of it all, the essence of it all, which is Hashem Havaya, the name Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei is Baruch Shemot, because He's the source of all. He is the source and He is the generality. He is the all inclusive category that all is included in Him. He is the generality. He is the all inclusive category of all of the forces together. This was the whole idea of the Avodah Zarah of earlier generations when they served idols. That was their starting place. Right, from the days of Enosh. Enosh was a grandson of Adam. In his day, they already started serving idols. Then they initiated the idea of idolatry in the world, as the verse says, Moshe Kosev, Az Hucha Likro B'Shem Hashem. Then they started using the name of Hashem on different types of forces. They wanted to call a certain force Hashem. They wanted to call a certain force God. They started serving the different forces of the stars and the different constellations, the different forces which guide our world, which influence our world. They started serving those individual forces. Each one wanted to serve a different star or a different constellation which he chose for himself. This guy said, I'm choosing this god and I'm choosing that god. People chose different things for themselves. You know? Person who thinks it's a candy store, he chooses whatever sweets he likes, whatever chocolates he likes. So therefore they started choosing for themselves different forces, and they said, that's my God. Now, not that they thought, not that they were mistaken to think that that force created everything. They knew that. They knew that there is a God above who created everything. They realized that this is just one specific force of the many forces. Not that they thought that that was the God of all. Always the Goyim used to say that there is a concept, Shal Umos, that the nations of the world used to call Hashem, because he's Baruch Shemayim, Elokod Elokin. They used to call it, as a apostle in Daniel, they spoke of the God of gods. They knew, they always knew there's a God of gods. But nevertheless, they're going to serve the individual gods. But they knew there was a God of gods. They didn't want to serve the God of gods. They wanted to serve the individual forces, because this force will help me. This force will help me to become rich and powerful and healthy, and I'll have a happy life and I'll be successful, etc. So therefore, they serve different forces. But they knew that there was a force of all forces. They knew there was a God of all gods. Moshe Amru Chazal, Malachi was one of our prophets. When he gave rebuke to Israel, one of the verses that's got in, he's one of the 12 prophets that are brought in Avim. So when he gives rebuke to Israel, the Jewish people, he says as follows: Kimi Mizrach Shemesh. This is the verse that he said, from the east, from the rising of the sun, Ad Mavoye, till the setting of the sun. From the rising of the sun till the setting of the sun, Godol Shmi Begoyim. Great is my name amongst the nations. Hashem says, so to speak, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, my name is great amongst the nations. Ki gol shmi begoyim, great is my name amongst the nations, says Hashem, Lord of hosts. You know, they knew that there's a concept of Hashem who is the Lord of everything. So what was their mistake? If they knew that really there's Hashem who's really running everything, so what was their mistake? The beginning of their mistake was shechashvu b'shibush daitem. They thought in their confusion, ki ram Hashem. Hashem is too high, he's too lofty, and he's way up there in the heavens. And it's not according to his honor that he should lower himself to supervise my individual life. The individual details of my life, that's too small for Hashem. You know, a big managing director, he has to delegate. You have the managing director, you have the president of the company, and you have like 15 vice presidents. They're all running the different departments. You know, he's too big to run the specific departments. He's too important. So that's what they said. Hashem is too important to run the specifics of the world. Therefore, they thought Hashem has removed his supervision of what's happening in their lives. And Hashem has handed over to the different stars and the different forces in the world, the different types of constellation, that they're going to direct the world. They thought the forces are the ones who run the world. It's like it's their control. You know, those are the ones you have to bribe. You have to bribe the clocks who actually get the work done. The guys who are actually running the operation. The guys, all those vice presidents. You have to bribe the vice presidents because they're the ones really running the show. The president is way up there. He's too busy. He's too lofty. He's too high up. He's got no interest in this world. That was their mistake. And therefore, they considered to go and address Hashem himself by Nechshav Etzlam Chulin V'Isu Gamu Chutzpah Gedoyla Negdu Yisboch Dispar Shmoy Hanichba. They thought to speak directly Hashem is a chutzpah. They thought it's chutzpah, therefore that's something that they can't do. So we're going to see, Netz Hashem will explain next time what is the mistake. What is the mistake then, how we really should be looking at it? That this is a wrong concept, that Hashem is too high to be addressed by us. That's a mistaken concept. But that is basically how it started. And that's the concept that you have Hashem and you have Elohim, different forces. But Hashem is the source of all the forces.